Please open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, Ecclesiastes 1, page 696 in your Schofield Bible. We'll be reading one verse from this chapter. We'll turn to two other verses after we read this verse. It's the sixth verse of the first chapter. We'll read it in unison, and we shall stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Okay, let's read the sixth verse of the first chapter, please. Ready? The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Turn now to the fifth chapter of the same book. We'll read the 16th verse. Okay, let's read it, please. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Chapter 11 now, and verse 4. Then let's read it. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And let's pray. And Father, we've looked forward to this service now, since this morning's service. For many of us, it's life or death matter, and we need to hear what you have for us. Pray for your blessing upon the preaching. Help us to listen carefully and to give all due regard to that which you speak through our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm a grizzled old veteran. I've been around a while. It's awfully hard to surprise me with something. It's awful hard for me to face something I haven't faced before. I've been in the ministry for 40, been a licensed preacher now for 42 years. I've been an ordained preacher for almost 41 years. And I've been pastoring for 41 years. And it's a little hard for me to come to something I haven't come to before. And it's a little bit harder, maybe, to rattle me than it used to be. I've pretty well seen it all. And tonight I want to talk to you about something that I've learned over these 40 years. I want to talk tonight on the subject, the wind to your back. Anybody that knows anything about sports knows that that's an important thing in sports. Wrigley Field is known as the home run park when the wind is blowing out. The football team, when they flip a coin at the beginning of the game, the winner of the coin toss can either take his choice, whether receive or kick or which end of the field he'll take. And oftentimes, if there is a significant wind, that plays a part in the decision, whether the team has the wind to its back or the wind to buck. And I want to talk tonight on the subject, the wind to your back. Father, bless the message. Give me the hearing of all the people, the attention of all the people tonight. Drive a peg in the devil's coffin tonight and add a few years to the old church downtown because of this hour. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, many of which he wrote in his more youthful years or mid-years. The book of Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon in the last years of his life. It's a lamentation, really. Solomon is lamenting the fact that he's wasted so much of his life. What a wonderful start he had and how he blew it. He had anything that he wanted to have, he had. And he comes to the end of his life, and he writes to us, advising us to fear God and keep His commandments, to love Him and serve Him. I think he probably sum it up when he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And in using the, or in lamenting, Solomon uses a great deal the subject of wind. He says, for example, in chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "The wind blows from the south, and then from the north, and the east and the west comes round again." He says in chapter 5, verse 16, "What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" What does it mean? What profit hath he that labors in the light of which way the wind is blowing? He says again in chapter 11, verse 4, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow." You wait until the wind is just right, and you won't sow. You just go ahead and sow all the time, he's saying. Don't worry about the wind. Don't let the wind affect it. He says, in one place, "All is vanity." He mentions one time, "vanity of vanities." Now, that means boxing at the wind. It means swinging at the wind, like a fellow takes a few practice swings with a baseball bat. He's swinging at the wind. That's what that means. When it says, "All is vanity and vexation of spirit," once again, it has to do with the wind and shadow boxing. A fellow is boxing, and he's shadow boxing, just not boxing against anybody, not even hitting a punching bag. He just, you've seen boxers before boxing match, they get out and they'll punch a while just at the wind. Solomon seems to liken over and over again in so many ways his wasted life with the wind. Hosea 12:1 says, "Ephraim feedeth on the wind and followeth after the east wind." What's Ephraim doing? Ephraim's following the wind. Let's see which way the wind's blowing. That's where I want to go. I won't buck the wind. I want to go with the wind. In Hosea 8:7, it says, "They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." What does it mean? It means if you follow whichever way the wind blows, that you're going to, one of these days, the wind's going to go round and round and round and round, and that's what you're going to do. You just keep on. If the wind goes south, you go south. Wind goes north, you go north. Wind goes east, you go east. Wind goes west, you go west. But Solomon said sometimes wind doesn't go any one direction. Just all of a sudden you get in a tornado and a whirlwind. You used to follow the wind. You just go round and round and round, and you're going to reap the whirlwind. Solomon is lamenting. He's saying, decide which way to go and go. He's saying, don't change every time the wind changes. He's saying, don't change to buck the wind, or don't change to have the wind to your back. Now, there's some people that every time they want to go the way the wind's going. Other people, they want to buck whatever way the wind's going. Both are wrong. Neither is right. You're supposed to set your course. If the wind comes against you, keep going on your course. If the wind goes with you, keep going on your course. Just set the right course and keep on going. Don't check the wind. First Baptist Church of Hammond, through all these years, we haven't checked the wind. We haven't figured out which way the wind of popularity is going and get on the bandwagon and go with the wind. No, we believe what we always have believed. You check my sermons. I dare you to. You check my sermons that were preached many years ago. I do. You check them, and you'll find out the same things preached in this pulpit now that was preached 25 years ago from this pulpit. You'll also find out with great delight the same thing is preached in this pulpit, and the same standards are preached in this pulpit. They were preached 75 years ago from this pulpit also. So, no, don't change. Don't change. Go the way you're supposed to go. Don't change with the wind. Decide what's modest dress, ladies. When the skirts go up, don't change with the wind. Skirts go down, don't change with the wind. Wear what you're supposed to wear. Wear what you think God wants you to wear. But don't let the wind of Paris determine what you wear. Fellows, be man enough not to let the length of your hair go according to the wind. Wind get a long, shaggy hair, you go with the wind. You get haircuts, you go with the wind. Be man enough to decide yourself. Be man enough to set your own course. Don't always have the wind to your back. Don't always be going downstream. Set your course and don't change with the wind. Years ago, there was a young preacher down in Texas, down in a town called Corpus Christi, Texas, pastored the Second Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. And he was a Southern Baptist. His name was Lester Rollout. I was a young preacher, and he was a young preacher. And he got pretty well known around Texas, not famous, but fairly well known as a young man. And so he just decided to take his course and go his direction and not to go with the winds of popularity or the winds of compromise or the winds of pussyfooting. He decided to go with his own course. Well, he was on a radio station, and KWBU, I think, Corpus Christi, a big 50,000-watt station, on with the Family Altar broadcast. He found out that the station was owned by the Southern Baptist Convention, and that the Southern Baptist Convention was owned a building and was leasing that building, part of it, to a liquor store. And this young preacher named Roloff didn't have much sense, and so he decided he was going to preach against that on his radio broadcast. Well, the same people, the same Southern Baptist Convention that owned the his radio station on which he was preaching owned this liquor, the building that leased it, that part of it out to a liquor store. And some of the powers that be decided to blow some wind his way, and they had plenty of it to blow, and they decided to put him off the station. But this young preacher decided he was going to not go with the wind. He said, "Oh, which way is the wind blowing?" "Oh, that's right. It's okay after all." No, he went right on, and right on, they put him off the station. And a lot of his friends, they said, "Brother Roloff's not very popular right now. We better go with the Southern Baptist crowd right now. The wind has changed." And so they were going this way, but the wind's blowing this way. They went with the wind. Ah, but what they didn't know, the wind might change again someday. And the day came, and Brother Roloff owned the station himself, and the wind changed. What I'm trying to say is, what America needs is some preachers that don't change with the wind. With the wind of denominational popularity and the wind of the fads of the day and the wind of the fashions of the day. And what Solomon is saying here, he's saying, would God I hadn't followed the wind. He said every time a new fashion came in, I wanted that. And every time the wind changed, I went that way. And every time the wind changed again, I went that way. And if the wind changed again, I went that way. Solomon said, young people, do what's right, no matter which way the wind's blowing. If right's popular, then do right. If right's unpopular, then do right. If decent length skirts are in, wear decent length skirts. If decent length skirts are out, wear decent length skirts. If haircuts are in, get a haircut. If haircuts are out, get a haircut. If good music is in, listen to good music. If rock music is in, listen to good music. And don't go with the wind. Then that's what's happening all over America tonight. Remember years ago, many years ago, a young preacher came out of Texas named John R. Rice. A lot of you folks don't know this, but Dr. Rice preached citywide campaigns a lot longer before Billy Graham ever came on the scene. He preached citywide campaigns. I'm talking about great citywide campaigns in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm talking about Syracuse, New York. I'm talking about Rochester, New York. I'm talking about, are you listening to me? All over America, he preached great citywide campaigns. And the wind was to his back. Everybody in the nation was interested in Dr. John Rice. He was far and away the most accepted evangelist for a while, citywide evangelist in America, for a season following the days of Billy Sunday and so forth. And you check Dr. Rice's sermons he preached back in those days. You check some skeletons come out of their closets, and Bob DeHare, bossy wives, and women preachers. And boy, across this nation, he was down in Waxahachie, Texas, preaching a citywide campaign. He decided to get a crowd, and he decided a good way to get a crowd was to go out to Lover's Lane. He went out to Lover's Lane and got all of the license plates of all the people out there necking and petting and living like animals in Lover's Lane. And in the meeting, by the way, he checked all those license plates and found out who owned those cars, and then went to the church, the big tent next night, and read the names of all the people that owned the cars that were in Lover's Lane the night before. Oh, he drew a great crowd. I'm saying this young preacher, a fearless young preacher, took his stand. And all across America. You see, back in those days, America had some character. Back in those days, America had enough sense to vote liquor out and make it illegal. Back in those days, nobody had heard anything about marijuana or heroin. Back in those days, anything like rock music would have been considered as damnable as it is. Back in those days,
Anything like rock and roll would have been considered adultery, standing up and dancing. Back in those days, we had some character and some principles, and preachers had some convictions and took a stand and believed something and lived for it and died for it and didn't check which way the wind is blowing. Well, America changed, but this young preacher didn't change. The wind changed. And Dr. Rice, his convictions didn't have the wind to their back anymore. They had the wind bucking them. But old Dr. John just kept on going. I remember one time people began to leave Dr. Rice. I was with him in those days. I remember when his popularity began to wane in America. The Sword of the Lord, which had 300,000 or 400,000 subscriptions, went down to less than 40,000 subscriptions. I know. I was on the board because Dr. Rice took a stand against having citywide campaigns where liberals came and cooperated in the campaigns and where the National Council of Churches cooperated in the campaigns. Dr. Rice took a stand, and a justifiable stand, a scriptural stand, against the unholy, unequal yoke of having religious exercises with and activities and services with the heathen, those that don't believe the Bible and those that do believe the Bible, those that don't believe the virgin birth and those that do believe the virgin birth, and those liberals and fundamentalists got together. And Dr. Rice took a stand against that. And the subscriptions of the Sword of the Lord began to go down. And the wind had changed. And people jumped off his bandwagon. Not because they'd changed their conviction, because they wanted it. I said, Mr. Way, is the wind blowing? And they felt like that Dr. Rice was not had the wind to his back, and they wanted to get with the popular crowd. And so they did. Ah, but the wind that changed once can change again. And the wind changed again, and before the old man died, the great campaigns came back, and the great subscription came back, and the great services came back, and great blessings came back, and the old man made his comeback and went to heaven in a blaze of glory. And, by the way, at the time that Dr. Rice was facing his bitterest battle, at that very time, every door in America was open to me. And Dr. Rice was really facing a battle. People that didn't want to have him wanted to have me. And every door in America, those same citywide cities that had these citywide campaigns, wouldn't have him back because of his stand. They wanted to have me. I wasn't known as well back in those. I was not my name was around the country, but my convictions weren't around the country yet. And so they invited me. But I decided to stick with the old man. I decided if he's going against the wind, I'd go against the wind. I decided not to jump off his bandwagon. You know, it's so easy when somebody's on top to, boy, follow him. And then a little rough going comes, well, going to jump off. You dirty rebel, you turncoat, you Benedict Arnold. How's the wind going? Well, that's it. That's a Southern Baptist wind. I think I'll go with it. That's the charismatic wind. I think I'll go with that charismatic wind. Independent Baptist doing pretty well. I think I'll jump back with the Independent Baptist. Not me, Buster. What I believe, whether the wind's blowing, whether it's a hurricane coming from me, toward me, or behind me, stick with the wind. Not with the wind, but stick against the wind and what you believe, and don't turn. Every time the wind changes, every time the wind turns. 1960s in America. Now, this is sort of a positioning sermon tonight. It's about time for school to start again. I just want to drive a few pegs down and let you know, in case somebody's here under false pretense, you can go back home tomorrow morning. If you're looking for an old-fashioned hell-raising, hell-fire and damnation, fundamental barnstorming, winter rat and shingle-pulling, fundamental Baptist church and school, you found the right place. If that's not what you're looking for, pack your duds and go home tomorrow morning. I'm trying to say we're not going to change because the wind changes. If what we believe is popular, we believe it. If what we believe is unpopular, we believe it. If what we believe causes us to have friends, we'll preach it. If what we believe causes us to make enemies, we'll preach it. Truth doesn't change because popularity changes. And dress doesn't change because parents change. The 1960s, Independent Baptists built the largest churches in America. So folks held up and said, hey, that's the Independent Baptist win. So we're going to go along with that. They can help us. The wind's going along with Independent Baptists. Back in those days, I guarantee you, of the 20 largest churches in America, probably 12, 14 of them were Independent Baptist churches. Oh, folks jumped on the bandwagon. Why? Because it's going fast. The wind is behind Independent Baptist. But in the 1970s, Independent Baptist didn't have as big a church as the Southern Baptist Convention came along. And they began to build big churches. By the way, most of them were built by people that came to the Independent Baptist Pastor School here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, in case you'd like to know that. And in case you wouldn't like to know it, it's still true. Then they got the idea, and they started using some of the methods that the Independent Baptist had used. What they should have done is come on and joined us. But they used some of the methods Independent Baptists were using. So a certain crowd held up their finger. Hey, that's a Southern Baptist win. And let's go along with them. I believe they're bigger than the Independent Baptist churches are now. Let's go. I wish I had put some chocolate on my finger or something. That's the check that win. That's a Southern Baptist win. And in the last few years, did you know that if I call the names of the well-known charismatic preachers in America who came to pastor school back yonder several years ago, I didn't know who they were. And I'm talking about nationwide TV evangelists. I'm not talking about Baker, but Tammy Faye. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about those are just as famous as they. The biggest charismatic churches in America are being built today by people who came to pastor school several years ago and got the idea. And now then, all over America, you got these big charismatic churches. Say the preacher, let's see, that's a charismatic win. Think I'll join up with a PTO club, with a 700 club. That's a charismatic win. No. We'll just keep on going like we always have been going. We'll believe what we always have believed. We'll stick with the fundamentalist people, those that believe every word in that book is the Word of God, those that believe that Jesus is virgin born, those that believe in salvation by grace, and you can't lose it because you stump your toe every once in a while. We'll keep on believing in grace. We'll keep on believing in separation. We'll keep on believing in the old-time religion, and we'll not turn, we'll not change for a Southern Baptist win or a Northern Baptist win or a charismatic win. We'll stick with the old fundamental position, upstream or downstream, with the wind, against the wind. On Christ, the solid rock will stand. All the ground is seeking sand. We'll just keep going. Same old way. If the wind's behind us, we'll go that way. If the wind's not behind us, we'll go that way. Keep on going. Where we're going is the most important thing, not how fast we're going or how much wind is behind us. I'm thinking about a preacher right now. You can guess all you want to guess, but I'm thinking about a preacher right now. There was a day when he was Independent Baptist. He got saved in Independent Baptist Church, and Independent Baptist churches were the hottest thing in the country back in those days. I want to tell you something. You don't judge a movement by its size. Somebody said, your church must be of God with all these thousands of people. No, sometimes the church goes to the catacombs. Sometimes there's a persecution. Sometimes a sword comes to a person's throat and says, do you believe it or not? Well, he said, give me some time to think about it. The wind changes. So when the Southern Baptists began to build some bigger churches, preacher I'm thinking about, he held up his hand. Hey, the wind has changed. That's Southern Baptist wind. So he goes down to Southwestern Seminary, where I attended a seminary 35 years ago, and where they laughed at soul winning, and where one professor stood up and said that the resurrection was nothing more than a bunch of blindfolded spirits in a vacuum. I heard that myself 35 years ago, and I wouldn't send my puppet dog if I had one to Southwestern Seminary. I know this is on tape, and it'll go around the world. I don't care. Right's right, wrong's wrong. But this preacher I'm thinking about, it's Southern Baptist wind there. So he went down to Southwestern Seminary and preached and hobnobbed with that crowd. And then in recent days, you got a charismatic wind now. So I think I'll join up with the charismatic crowd. Not me. I think I'll stick with the fundamental crowd. If there are millions of us, I'll stick with them. If there are hundreds of us, I'll stick with them. If we're meeting in great coliseums and auditoriums like this, I'll stick with them. If we have to go underground and meet in caves, I'll still stick with them. Why? Because that's what I believe. That's why. It's supposed to change what you believe every time the wind changes. All of a sudden, security of the believer is not important to that preacher anymore. All of a sudden, the great doctrine of grace is not important to that preacher anymore. All of a sudden, the great convictions and standards of Christianity Since the New Testament church is not important anymore.
Whichever way the wind's blowing,
whichever way the crowd's going, the old rugged cross I will ever be true with shame and reproach badly bear. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Take up that cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave His all? I'm not asking you to be negative. I'm not asking you to be cantankerous. I'm asking you, what do you believe? Stand with it. Live by it. Die by it. Oh, we need for Baptist folks again to be Baptist folks. We need to read Baptist history a little bit. Find out how that Baptist folks have died as martyrs in this country for their position. Thinking about another preacher. It was a Southern Baptist back 100 years ago before the independent Baptist movement really got going. And one day he held his finger up and said, hey, I'll believe that's an independent Baptist wind. So he decided to go with independent Baptists. They had the wind to their back. And then there came a day when the Southern Baptist sort of took them. He said, I believe that's a Southern Baptist wind. Let's go back this way. And then one day the Charismatics got some television programs all over here. I believe I can get more popular now and get more money. That's a Charismatic wind. Now, what I believed about the Charismatics 25 years ago, I believe about the Charismatics now. I don't care if there's not but 10 fundamentalists in America and there are 10 billion charismatics, I'm still a Baptist. I love that old story about this Baptist fellow went to a Catholic hospital. And he was bad sick. And the priest came in and said, now look, sir, he said, when you get real bad, he said, his little image up there, doll or idol or something, up there on the wall, says, you rub that and you'll feel better. So I looked at the priest and said, don't you talk to me like that, mister. He said, I'm a Baptist. I'm not about to rub that crazy doll. Well, he said, in case you change your mind, he said, rub it. About 2 o'clock in the morning, a pain gripped his stomach. He took a look at that doll. He said, I'm a Baptist. And about 2:30, pain hit his stomach, and he reached up and touched. No, I'm a Baptist. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he thought he was going to die. He grabbed that doll and rubbed it and said, Lord, don't let this crazy doll fool you. I'm still a Baptist. And so am I. Yeah, fundamentalist, yeah. Uh-huh. Independent, yeah, yeah. Same thing I preached 28 years ago. The first Sunday night sermon I ever preached in this church was entitled Redigging the Wells. That's the first Sunday night sermon ever preached in this church. Redigging the wells that the liberals have filled up. And I said that back in Abraham's day, I said, digging of wells is a very important thing, but a bunch of enemies came in and filled up the wells, and Abraham came along, and he rebuilt the wells that the fathers had dug. And I said, we need to rebuild the wells of fruitfulness, and rebuild the wells of the Bible, and rebuild the wells of separation. After 28 years, we're still going the same way. Winds have come and winds have gone. Winds have changed and winds have come. But we still believe the same thing we believed 28 years ago. You look very carefully. We're not the ones that have changed. There wasn't a hippie to be found in 1960. They're the ones that changed, not us. Two reasons why I haven't changed about hippie crowd. One, it's against the Bible for a man to have long hair. And two, I've seen how you look. All we're doing here at First Baptist Church is what you used to do, that's all. We're just practicing what you used to preach, that's all. And in case any of you members have any false notions about us changing, you can just rest assured right now, we'll be changed. They say you may lose some people. Didn't come to lose folks. Didn't come to get folks. Came to preach the truth to those who showed up. Yeah, that's going to be a losing some members win. I don't want to lose anybody, but I'll tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather lose the whole crowd than dip my sails. Yeah, we'll keep on preaching what we have. Now, if the skirts have gone back up, ladies, we'll holler about that a little more. Yeah? Saw a sign the other day, said, ladies' clothing, 2/3 off. I said, it's almost all off. Saw another sign, said, ladies ready to wear clothing. I said, bless God. About time they got ready to wear clothing. That's funnier than that. Yeah, it's an independent Baptist wind. I think I'll go this way a while. That's a Southern Baptist wind. I go this way a while. That's a charismatic wind. I'll go this way a while. I want to tell you, Buster, the wind's going to change again. What if the next wind's a Mormon wind? And it may well be. It may well be. It just may be. I mean, I'll be honest with you. That's probably the fastest growing crowd in this world today. What if that's the next way the wind blows? And I'll bind you this, brother. I'll guarantee you, this crowd that changed every time the wind is changed, they'll change and join up with the Mormons one of these days, as sure as I'm standing here, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to find which way the wind's blowing. No, sir, let's find what the truth is. The old foundation and anchor of truth. That's all that matters. All that matters. 1956. Took my stand. In fact, I took my stand all along when I first became a student in the Southern Baptist College. I had a singing group came into our college, and they stood up on the platform of East Texas Baptist College, and they had a song they sang called Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. Boy, it'll be a... They'll have 20 inches of snow where the booger man lives before we ever do anything like that. I went to the president of the college, and I said, Dr. Bruce, I said, that's not right. He said, you're just a student. I said, yes, but that's still not right. I'm paying tuition to go to this college, and I have a right when I come to a Baptist college not to come to a college that has a worldly band coming in here. And by the way, a worldly band is no worse than a worldly opera star coming into a college either. Same thing. And I said, Dr. Bruce, that's not right. I'm paying my tuition. I have a right to go to a college where when I go to... Now, the chapel, don't have to hear a band playing Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. We had a professor on our campus, head of the English department, said in the class in a Baptist college supported by Southern Baptist money, and this has been good night 40 years ago, he said that it was not wrong for people to go nude. I went back to see Dr. Bruce again. Took my stand. Took my stand in college. Took my stand while I was pastoring a young church. I took my stand. And finally they said, you support our institutions or you will have to get out of this denomination. And I had gone to a denominational college and denominational seminary. And I belonged to a denominational church in my whole life. I've been in that denomination. But right's right and wrong's wrong. I don't care what you're in. And they said, okay, you support us. You can't be one of us. I remember the night that they said they gave me that choice. And I said, it'd be a sad day, brother, when I ever give one red cent of my money to support a college that does not believe that this book is the Word of God. Won't give a dime to it. I never forget. We had a real good friend. He was an evangelist. Real good friend. Oh, he loved me. Man, you know why? I had the fastest growing church in the Southern Baptist Convention. When the wind is blowing my way. Ah, but he heard what happened and how that they had told me I had to support their program or get out. And he and his wife came over to our house that night. And I can still see him. Let me have this mic right here. And I can still see him. I paced in the floor that night at our house. He said, Brother Jack, he said, that's not right. He said, they've not treated you right. He said, you ought to publish your side of the story and send it to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention. That rang a bell to me. I said, I think I'll do it. I published my side of the story, sent out 20,000 copies of our church paper, and told the whole story to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention. That same evangelist held the wind, held a finger. Hiles is going against the wind. He came back to my house within a week, and he said, I can't run with you anymore. Yeah, winds change. Yeah. He said, I'm losing meetings. My brother, I'd lost every meeting I ever had for John Rice.
So what happened? His singer was a member of our church. His singer left our church and went to a church where the wind was blowing. I'm getting tired of sucking my finger. I'll throw my thumb for a while. But,
so, he left. Ah, but the same wind that changed before can change again. And our church in Texas got on its feet and got back to going real good. And then we came to Indiana, and we soon had the largest Sunday school in the world. The wind is changing. I was preaching down in Baytown, Texas one night. Great crowd of people. Altar was filled with people. And I was on my knees at the altar praying, and I felt an arm around my shoulder. I looked up, and there stood that evangelist. Since I'd met him, he'd been in a mental institution. And he said, he called me Jack. We were that close. He said, Jack, I'm sorry. He said, years ago I left you. He said, I'm sorry, I did wrong. What wrong did he do? Followed the wind. Followed the wind. David wanted to honor Saul and Jonathan. He asked his captain, Ziba, if he knew anybody in the family of Saul and Jonathan that was still living. He wanted to honor them in honor of Saul and Jonathan. Yes, a grandson, Saul's grandson is still living. His name is Mephibosheth. He's crippled. Lives down the land of Lodibar, the poor, ghetto-type area. And David said, Ziba, take some servants and a caravan and go down there to Lodibar. I want Mephibosheth. I want him to come to my palace. I want to make him as one of my own sons. I want him to sit at my table. I want to make him as one of the king's sons. And that poor little ragged kid, crippled from the time he was 4 or 5 years of age, came to the palace, and David put robes around his little poor back, and he put him on royal furniture and let him sit at the royal table with the royal family, and made him an heir of his own wealth, and made him in his own family. And Mephibosheth, wind's blowing pretty good. But the day came when there was a rebellion against David. And there was an insurrection, and David, rather than fight against his own son, who was a part of that insurrection, David left, and the battle was raging. And Mephibosheth, this little fella, who was a nobody, who was in poverty, who was in a ghetto, who was crippled, who had been taken with the king of Israel and made a child of the king, he forsook David because he thought David was out. Winds change. He's not in the palace anymore. I think somebody else might be in the palace. I better go with the wind. But the wind changed again. And David came back to the palace. I don't know of anything in the world, in the whole Bible, that irritates me any more than that. Here's this little fellow that was a nobody, a little poor, crippled lad living in poverty in Lodibar, in the ghetto section of the country, in the poorest section of the country. And David brought him to the palace and put him on palatial sheets and in palatial rooms and set a palatial table and made him his own son. And then Mephibosheth saw the wind changing. Some of you folks tonight sat here and sang the songs of God. But tomorrow morning when you go to work with the wind change, you won't sing any songs of God at work, will you? Why, the wind is changing. If you're a young man at Hiles Anderson College this year, you've come to go to college, and you're going to be a wind follower, then just go on home. Though they have 10 who say, I believe it, I'll live for it, and I'll die for it. Every time the wind changes. The wind, if the tongue talkers are going with the wind, I'll go with the tongue talkers. Not me, Buster. Not me. The liberals have the wind at their back. I'll go with the liberals. No, sir. The story has been told many times here, but I want to use it because I want to preach to the lay people a minute. I was in Texas, had a family. Let me save a little time. I was preaching in Fayetteville, Arkansas area. And one Monday night, Dr. Rice and I were there, and we used to have book tables out in the lobby where we sold books. I don't do that anymore. Dr. Rice and I were out there at the book tables, and a lady came to me, and she said, Dr. House, could I help you with your book table? And I said, I'm sorry, I ought to have some help. She said, could my husband and I take you out after church tonight? And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I don't eat after church. Well, I eat. I don't go out and eat. I go to the vending machine and take it to my room. And so she said, well, could my husband and I take you out for lunch tomorrow? And I said, no, we have a pastor's meeting at lunch. Well, how about tomorrow night before the service? I said, no, ma'am, I don't go out and eat before the service at night before I preach. She said, could we take you to the airport Wednesday? I said, I'm sorry, somebody's already asked for that. She put her head on her arm like that and put her arm down on the table and began to cry almost uncontrollably. And I said, ma'am, don't you, why are you crying? Why do you want to do something for me so badly? She looked up and through tears, she said, don't you know me? And I said, no, ma'am, I don't know you. She said, well, you do too. You came to visit our house. You're the one that told me the story of Jesus, and my husband and I were members of your church in Garland. She said, we loved you and were loyal members to you, but she said, then when you took your stand because of the liberal denomination, you took your stand, she said, we thought you were finished, and we left. She said, now we've been living in the Fayetteville area. We own our own airplane. She said, any time you preach within 200 miles of here, we fly to hear you preach. She said, we'll fly 200 miles often to hear you preach, and we used to wouldn't drive across town to hear you preach. She said, why didn't you tell us that someday you were going to pastor the largest church in America? I said, you didn't ask me. Yeah. Wind changed. Listen, that wind can change again. Yeah. That which goes around will come around. Don't get rattled. Don't get worried. Don't fret. Just keep on believing what you believe. Keep on standing for what's right. Yeah. I mean, I've been preaching. Listen, I've been preaching against the long men having long hair for a long time. Now the crew cuts are coming back. Tickled the fire out of me. Yeah. Welcome home, fellas. Welcome home. Yeah. And the skirts will go down. Don't cut your skirts off, baby. It's a lot easier to keep them where they are than it is to lengthen one. Why should we let Paris tell us what to wear? Every time the fashion winds change, we change. Theological winds change, we change. And I'm getting so tired of sucking that finger on what to do. But I got to do it because it's the best part of the sermon. Yeah. God give us some old-fashioned Christian say we're going to stand what we always stood for. You folks don't like what I'm preaching tonight. You're the one that's changed. Boy, you're getting hard. Check some of my sermons back yonder. Check my sermons 17 years ago. We first started the Christian school movement in C5 Chains. You hear some of those old sermons I preached then. I said, brother, I'd rather my kids not read and write to go to a heathen school. Said the same thing last Sunday. Hear it again next Sunday, too. Somebody said to Billy Sunday, said, you're rubbing her fur the wrong way. He said, have a cat turn around. I'll guarantee you, folks, you've been here for years and get disenchanted with what I stand for. You check and see how you take your pictures of yourself back yonder 20 years ago and compare it and see who's changed, you or me. I'm not talking about size now. Though I myself look exactly as I did 25 years ago. Used to be an independent fundamental preacher named Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton. Yeah, an independent Baptist wind's going pretty good. I think we'll have Dr. Rice come. He's going with the wind. And the day came when Dr. Rice wasn't as popular as he used to be, so Chuck Templeton decided to go the American Baptist wind. There are more of those. It's American Baptist wind. Now go with that. And he came the day where he thought, well, a National Council of Churches is even bigger than that. That's a National Council win. I'll go with that.
Yeah, I heard him interviewed on a television program several years ago. He's out in Hollywood, and I was out there in California, heard him interviewed, and he said, "I'm an atheist now." Folks, if you don't believe what you believe, you won't believe what you used to believe very long. You've got to practice doctrine like you practice anything else. You've got to actively believe it or you won't believe it very long. Hair is not the issue. Fashion is not the issue. The wind is the issue. The wind is the issue. 40 years ago, I set sail. And I set sail 40 years ago on a little old ship of salvation by grace through faith. The old ship is still sailing. It's gone through some times when the wind was behind me and we were going swiftly in their peaceful waters. Sometimes the wind has come from the front, the wind has changed, and the old ship has had to rock and roll in the sea. But the old ship sails on. Same salvation plan I preached 40 years ago, I preach tonight. 40 years ago, I set sail. I decided to what I believe about separation. Not one thing has been changed. Not one single thing has been changed. I didn't belong to the ministerial association. It's composed of all the fundamentalists and liberals in Marshall, Texas, almost 40 years ago, and I don't belong to the one in Hammond in 1987. Why? Because my separation ship's been going down the same trail for 40 years. Sometimes it's been popular. Sometimes the folks have come by the thousands. Sometimes it's been unpopular. But the old ship hasn't turned around because of the wind. I set sail years ago, believing with all my soul in the old-time religion. Altar calls, soul winning, mourner's benches. That's the kind of Christianity I believe in. Believed it 40 years ago. The old ship is buxom wind. Sometimes it's gone peacefully along with the wind behind its back. Sometimes she's rocked and rolled and water's gotten inside the boat, but she's never changed her course in these years. I'll be 61 years old in a few days. I just don't think it's time to change. I just think I'll finish up the way I started out. I've seen too many older preachers change their conviction because of the wind. I'll be honest with you. I know I'm not as charming as I used to be. As a young man, I'm not as dashing as I used to be. I understand that. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Right's right with you at 25 or 61. And wrong is wrong with you at 25 or 61. Preachers, I can't believe what I see in America tonight. I can't believe it. I can't believe Baptist preachers would head charismatic movements. I can't believe that. Never thought I'd see it. Can't believe it. Men that used to openly preach against the tongue-talking crowd now joined up with the tongue-talking crowd. It's happening right before our eyes. Would you like to know why it's happening? Why don't you decide not to go with the wind? There are times in the 100-year history of this church, when you walked up and down the streets of Hammond and said, "I go to First Baptist Church," there have been times when folks would say, "Well, wonderful, that's such a fine church." And the winds change occasionally. You go down the street and the same thing is preached that was preached when everything was wonderful. Now somebody says, "You go there?" And you go, "Not anymore." Solomon said, every time the wind changed, I changed. He said, "I wish I hadn't have." He said, "Don't you change with the wind." Sometimes he said, "The wind will beat you back. Sometimes it'll buck you. But don't change when the wind changes." God didn't call us to get popular. God called us to stand for the truth. If the truth is popular, stand for it. Truth is unpopular. Stand for it. in your own family, at work, your neighborhood. Stand for it. Don't change with the wind. Father, I'm going to quit. I pray you'd bless the truth that's been preached tonight. And bless the people who've heard it and the one who spoke it.